Well, good morning and happy Lord's Day. It is February 5th, 2023, and welcome once again to our daily Bible reading. Today we're going to pick up in Genesis 38, the Gospel of Mark chapter 8, Job chapter 4, and Romans chapter 8. So let's get into the Word this morning. Genesis chapter 38 today. Genesis 38. And it came about at the time that Judah departed from his brothers and visited a certain Adullamite, whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite, whose name was Shua. And he took her and went into her. And so she conceived and bore a son, and he named him Ur. Then she conceived again and bore a son and named him Onan. And she bore still another son and named him Shelah. And it was at Chesbib that she bore him. Now Judah took a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord took his life. Then Judah said to Onan, "Go into your brother's wife, and perform your duty as a brother-in-law to her, and raise up offspring for your brother." And Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, and so when he went into his brother's wife, he wasted his seed on the ground in order not to give offspring to his brother. But what he did was displeasing in the sight of the Lord, and so he took his life also. Then Judah said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Remain a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "I am afraid that he too may die like his brothers." And so Tamar went and lived in her father's house. Now after a considerable time, Shua's daughter, the wife of Judah, died. And when the time of mourning was ended, Judah went up to his sheep shearers at Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. And it was told to Tamar, "Behold, your father-in-law is going up to Timnah to shear his sheep." And so she removed her widow's garments and covered herself with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in the gateway of Enaim, which is on the road of Timnah. For she saw that Shelah had grown up, and she had not been given to him as a wife. And when Judah saw her, he thought she was a harlot, for she had covered her face. And so he turned aside to her by the road and said, "Here now, let me come in to you." For he did not know that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, "What will you give me that you may come into me?" And he said, "Therefore, I will send you a young goat from the flock." And she said, "Moreover, will you give a pledge until you send it?" And he said, "What pledge shall I give to you?" And she said, "Your seal and your cord and your staff that is in your hand." And so he gave them to her and went in to her, and she conceived by him. Then she arose and departed, and removed her veil, and put on her widow's garments. And when Judah sent the young goat by his friend the Adullamite to receive the pledge from the woman's hand, he did not find her. And he asked the man of her place, saying, "Where is the temple prostitute who was by the road at Enaim?" But they said, "There has been no temple prostitute here." And so he returned to Judah and said, "I did not find her." And furthermore, the men of the place said, "There has been no temple prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep them, otherwise we will become a laughingstock. After all, I sent this young goat, but you did not find her." Now it was about 3 months later that Judah was informed, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar has played the harlot, and behold, she is also with child by harlotry." And then Judah said, "Bring her out and let her be burned." And it was while she was being brought out that she sent to her father-in-law, saying, "I am with child by the man to whom these things belong." And she said, "Please examine and see. Whose signet ring and cord and staff are these?" And Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, inasmuch as I did not give her to my son Shelah." Then he did not have relations with her again. And it came about at the time that she was giving birth that, behold, there were twins in her womb. And moreover, it took place while she was giving birth, one put out his hand, and the midwife took and tied a scarlet thread on his hand, saying, "This one came out first." But it came about as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out. And then she said, "What a breach you have made for yourselves." So he was named Perez. And afterwards, his brother came out who had the scarlet thread on his hand, and he was named Zerah. That was Genesis chapter 38. Let's move on over to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 today. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. In those days, when there was again a large crowd, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said, "I feel compassion for the people, because they have remained with me now 3 days, and have had nothing to eat. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on their way, and some of them have come from a great distance. And his disciples answered, where will anyone be able to find enough bread here in this desolate place to satisfy these people? And he was asking them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, seven. And he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the seven loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to the disciples to serve to them. And they served them to the people. And they also had a few small fish. And after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied. And they picked up seven large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. And 4,000 were there. And he sent them away. And immediately he went into the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. And the Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. And sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. And leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread, and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the five loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets full of broken pieces you picked up? And they said to him, 12. And when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? And they said to him, 7. And he was saying to them, do you not yet understand? And they came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Jesus and implored him to touch him. And taking the blind man by the hand, he brought him out of the village. And after spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on him, he asked, do you see anything? And he looked up and said, I see men, for I see them like trees walking around. And then again, he laid his hands on his eyes. And he looked intently and was restored and began to see everything clearly. And he sent him to his home, saying, do not even enter the village. And Jesus went out along with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he questioned his disciples, saying to them, who do people say that I am? And they told him, saying, John the Baptist. And they and others say Elijah, but others, one of the prophets. And he continued by questioning them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to them, you are the Christ. And he warned them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Then he was stating the matter plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning around and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but on man's. Then he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. That was Mark chapter 8. Let's move on over to our next reading today in Job. Job chapter 4. Job chapter 4 this morning. Job chapter 4. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered, if one ventures a word with you, will you become impatient? But who can refrain from speaking? Behold, you have admonished many, and you have strengthened weak hands. Your words have helped the tottering to stand, and you have strengthened feeble weak knees. But now it has come to you, and you are impatient. It touches you, and you are dismayed. Is not your fear of God your confidence, and the integrity of your ways your hope? Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright destroyed? According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they come to an end. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lion are broken. The lion perishes for lack of prey, and the whelps of the lionesses are scattered. Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on men, dread comes upon me, and trembling, and made all my bones shake. Then a spirit passed by my face, the hair of my flesh bristled up. It stood still, but I could not discern its appearance. A form was before my eyes, and there was silence. And then I heard a voice, "Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his Maker? He puts no trust even in his servants, and against his angels he charges error. How much more those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, and who are crushed before the moth? Between morning and evening they are broken in pieces. Unobserved they perish forever. Is not their tent cord plucked up within them? And they die, and yet without wisdom." That was Job chapter 4. Let's move on over to our final reading today, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 today. Romans chapter 8. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Then as an offering, he condemned sin in the flesh, and so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. And so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. But if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Then if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within our bodies, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he has already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And amen to that. That was Romans chapter 8, and that was our reading today for the Lord's Day, February 5th, 2023. Thank you all so much for joining me. Be sure to leave a comment or a reaction to this video, and I will be sure to mark that down. Just a reminder that today is the Lord's Day, of course, and so we have our regular Lord's Day schedule. We have 9:15 for Sunday School for All Ages, continuing my membership class, the final week this week. We also have Jeff Sanis, who's teaching 10 Things That Jesus Never Said, and so that's over in the Family Center. Of course, we'll be continuing through the book of Hebrews during our preaching sermon. And then after church today, we have our first Sunday fellowship, so stick around for that. Great time for us to just spend together as a church family, and even if you can just stay for a couple minutes, it's a great thing. So be sure to stick around for that. But let's start our Lord's Day with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for another day that you granted to us. It is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and are glad in it. And we are glad because, Lord, as we just read, God, our salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will be able to separate God's elect. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we praise you so much for that. And so, Lord, thank you so much for that. Grant us the grace today, Lord, through our time together, Lord. We also have communion today, Lord. And Lord, I would pray, God, that you would use that in our hearts and lives to draw us close to you and to each other. And so, Lord, just give us a good day together in your house, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Have a good one, everybody. See you in a little bit. Bye now.